And in July, the New South Wales government implemented new laws banning the act of vaping in public places, bringing it into line with existing smoking laws elsewhere. But does vaping, an act which seems less harmful than traditional tobacco and which could potentially help users quit cigarettes, deserve to be treated the same way? Well, joining us today to discuss the effects of vaping and the new laws is Dr. Colin Mendelson, an associate professor of public health in the School of Public Health and Community Education at UNSW. Thank you very much for joining us this morning, Colin.
Thank you. Thank you, Sam.
So, Colin, for people who don't know about these, what do the laws actually say?
Well, in terms of vaping in public in New South Wales, it's illegal to actually use a nicotine vaporizer or an e-cigarette in areas where you can't smoke. And that includes workplaces and just public places where smoking is not allowed.
Right. And so when they announced these laws, which were kind of already existed, you know, elsewhere, what was your general reaction to it?
Look, I think it's a very lazy policy decision. First of all, there's no health reason to make these laws. So unlike secondhand smoke, the risk to bystanders from passive vaping is negligible. So it's hard to justify on health grounds because vaping releases very few chemicals and only in small amounts, and it evaporates very quickly. So yes, it can be annoying to some people, but you know, vapers should be courteous and considerate of others. And so there is a convenience or amenity issue, but it's not a health issue. And the trouble with banning vaping in these public places is it sends a message that vaping is as harmful as smoking. And that encourages people from making the switch, because people who switch to vaping from cigarettes leads to dramatic improvements in health. And we really want to encourage that transition.
So as what you're saying is that, you know, treating them as equivalent acts in public is making a social connection between them. So you're going to be applying the same stigma that already exists from smoking over to vaping and just applying it broadly to everything.
Exactly. I think we should be making it clear that vaping is at least 95% safer. And we want people to make that transition. A lot of people just can't quit. And of course, it's better to quit completely if you can. But many smokers are just not able to. That's just the reality. And vaping offers a much safer alternative, which gives people the nicotine they need. And it gives them that whole hand-to-mouth smoking ritual, which smokers get very attached to.
Now, Colin, you mentioned that, you know, it's 95% safer. You're saying it's a much safer alternative to smoking. What is this based upon?
Okay, so that's based on a comprehensive analysis by the United Kingdom Royal College of Physicians and a separate analysis by Public Health England in the UK, which is the UK government health agency. And it's based on the fact that in smoke there are over 7,000 toxic chemicals caused by burning tobacco. Now, in vaping, all you're doing is heating a liquid solution of nicotine. So there are only a tiny fraction of the number of chemicals in vapor compared to smoke, and those that are there are mostly less than 1% of what they are in smoke. So working all that out and looking at the levels of toxicity of each chemical, they've come to the conclusion that vapor is extraordinarily less harmful than
right.
smoke.
And another sort of heralded property of vaping is it's a good way to sort of quit or diminish, you know, your reliance on traditional smoking. What evidence is there for that claim?
Yeah, look, I think there's growing evidence. Look, it doesn't work for everyone, but there are actually millions of smokers internationally who have quit. So we know in one study in the European Union in 2014, there was an estimated 6 million smokers who said they had quit with vaping. There are at least 2 million in the UK. There are millions in the US. So we know that people are doing it. And we know that when we look at the population studies, which follow people over a year, people who use vaping to quit are much more likely to succeed than people who use other methods.
Right.
So there's growing evidence that it's a good solution for many people.
And you called this sort of legislation very lazy. What would you like to see the approach being instead?
Yeah, look, a much better approach is what they're doing in the UK, which is a much more nuanced approach. So they're saying, let's leave that to the individual businesses and organisations. So you might say to a hotel, it's up to you to decide, do you want vaping in your hotel or not? And that hotel might decide, well, okay, we'll have vaping on a Thursday night in these bars, or we'll have it in the bar but not the restaurant. And it's up to individual businesses to decide, because it's not a health issue. I mean, I don't think the state has any right to legislate just on matters of convenience like this. I think that's getting a bit too much into the nanny state area. I think the state has a role where people's health is at risk, but not because it creates a smell that some people might not like. I mean, there are, you know, people have body odour or strong perfumes, which people don't like. And
absolutely.
We don't legislate to ban that. We you know, try and be courteous, and we work out ways around them.
Absolutely. Okay, well, thank you so much, Colin, for joining us this morning to help expand upon this.
That's my pleasure. Thank you, Sam.
And that was Dr. Colin Mendelson, Associate Professor of Public Health in the School of Public Health and Community Education at the University of New South Wales.